And this is both a practical halachic question, though perhaps less so for girls, but also, I think, a question that we'll see will get at the heart of what Talmud Torah is about, which, of course, is always important, but especially around Shavuos time. And the question we're going to talk about is Osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah with respect to Talmud Torah. Now, what does that mean? So normally we have a principle that if I'm involved in one mitzvah, I'm patur from other mitzvos. I don't have to stop doing one mitzvah in order to do another mitzvah. And that's a rule that's pretty straightforward that we all understand. There is somewhat of a debate about the scope of this. Some Rishonim say that's true even if I'm able to do both simultaneously. Others say, no, it's only if I couldn't do both simultaneously. But one way or the other, the general principle of Osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah is true. It's understandable. Now, the question is, how does it relate to Talmud Torah? Why is that important? Why would it be different? Well, if we were to apply Osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah for Talmud Torah, exactly. Someone could be learning all the time. There's no end to the mitzvah. And effectively, that means they would never do mitzvahs. Now, maybe the answer is enough and on. They would, in fact, never do mitzvahs. We'll see, though, that's not the case. And as I said, in exploring this question, we'll have an idea about the nature of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We'll begin, before we actually get to that question directly, with the Mishnah we say every day, and that is the Mishnah in Peah, that we say after Birkas HaTorah, the first source. Eilu dvarim shein lahem shiur, ha-peah ve'abukim ha-yon v'vus ha-sinim Talmud Torah. These are mitzvahs that have no shiur. You could do as much of them as there's no maximum, at the very least. The Talmud Torah keneged kulam. So that's the line we want to focus on. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. What does that mean? I think intuitively we probably all assume that means Talmud Torah is more important than all other mitzvos, or certainly the ones that were mentioned, but presumably even all mitzvos. Now, what's interesting is, if you look at the Mefarshei HaMishnah, on that Mishnah, you get two different perspectives. The Rambam writes, in the second source, Kshetachkor Lenin Hazeh, Timtza Talmud Torah Shakol Keneged HaKol, Ki B'Talmud Torah Yizke HaAdam L'Kol Zeh, Kemo Shebiarnu B'Tchilas Dvareinu. So through Talmud Torah, a person will arrive at all the other mitzvos. Talmud Torah teaches us how to do all the other mitzvos. Gmilus chasadim, hachmas haskala, hava shalom ben adam l'chaveiro, etc. So in that way it's superior. Talmud may vili de maisa, because Talmud brings a person to maisa. So, if I were to ask you, according to the Rambam, what's the understanding of Talmud Torah keneged kulam? Is that a statement which implies inherent superiority of Talmud Torah above all other mitzvos? No, everybody's saying no. So what does it mean? It leads me to the other mitzvos.
Interesting, because aren't all the ones that are listed here, at least from what it seems like, aren't they mitzvahs sechlios also? Like we would have thought to be.
Okay, that's an interesting question. You're saying we would have realized that we should do kibud av v'aim or gmilus chasadim.
But like the rest of them.
The answer presumably is that Talmud Torah definitely affects the way we do them. The laws of chesed teach us many things in the realm of chesed or kibud av v'aim or the like that we would not have appreciated before. And there's a huge difference between someone who's a gomel chesed because they have a good heart and a good nature and intuitively they're kind, and someone who's a gomel chesed through the perspective of halacha. But it is significant then that even in this realm we say that. I think that's a great point. So what does Talmud Tar Keneged Kula mean? What does it mean, Keneged Kula? In what way is it Keneged Kula? It's tricky, right? The Rambam echoes this in a different halacha, which I didn't include in your first version of your source sheet, so I have an addition here, the top halacha on this page. And this is actually the halacha of Oseik, the mitzvah, Patim, the mitzvah. It's from Per Gimel, halacha Gimel, the Chochostam Torah. Ein lecha mitzvah, the chola mitzvahs kulan, shishkula keneged Talmud Torah. There's no other mitzvah equal to Talmud Torah, la Talmud Torah keneged kol mitzvahs kulan. She Talmud mevi lidei maisa. So the Rambam here echoes what he said in the Perusha Mishnayos. Lefikach ha-Talmud kodem lemaisa b'chol makom. So now he's even drawing a practical application. When you have a question of what comes first, Talmud or Maisa, so Talmud comes first. Why? Because Talmud Torah is greater than all other Maisa. Even though he said that the greatness of Talmud is only because it's mevi lidei Maisa. Ha'ilafan of asiyas mitzvah the Talmud Torah. Im afshar le mitzvah le asos al yidei acherim lo yafsik talmudo. Vim lav yasa mitzvah v'yachzer le talmudo. So this is interesting as well. We'll get to the source for this halacha in a moment. But the Rambam writes, in halacha gimel, Talmud is always kodem lemaisa. But in halacha dalet, he writes, it depends when they're in direct conflict. If it's a mitzvah that others will do anyway, or they could do, so then I shouldn't stop learning. But if it's a mitzvah that others can't do, only I could do, then I should stop learning. But then the Rambam adds a very important phrase, v'yachzer l'talmudo, but you will return to your learning. So that's a phrase we're going to have to come back to. Presumably, that's obvious. What would I think? That if I take a break to do a mitzvah, I have a mitzvah that can't be done by others. Attend a levaya, or shake lulav, or whatever it is. So I would think that, you know, once I'm allowed to leave learning, so I get the day off. So the Rambam says, no, yachzer l'talmudo. So obviously the words yasa l'talmudo are telling me something about the nature of this halacha. That's something we'll have to figure out. But anyway, going back to our first source sheet. So the Rambam understands that Talmud Torah keneged kulam does imply superiority, but it's superiority because it's mevi lidei maisa. A lot of tension, but maisa focused. Now compare this to the second source. The second source, or the third source on the first sheet, is from the Rash. The Rash was one of the Rishonim, one of the Balei HaTosfos, who wrote a commentary on this Mishnah. And he quotes a Yerushalmi. And we won't read the whole Yerushalmi, but the key line for us, I guess we'll just read it quickly. Rabbi Brachia, Rabbi Chia, de Kfar Tchumen, Chad Amar Afilu, right, like we saw last week, there is no Bavli on Meseches Peah, because it's from Seder's Zraim. Remember we saw last week, only Mesechta with Bavli in Zraim is Brachos. So we do have Yerushalmi, though. So we have to look to Yerushalmi to explain this Mishnah. So Chad Amar Afilu Kol HaOlam Kulo Eino Shavel Dvar Echad Min HaTorah. One says everything in the world is not worth even one thing in the Torah. The other said, not even all the mitzvos are worth one thing of Torah, whatever that means. Rabbi Tanchum Amar, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Rachad Amar Kadein, Rachad Amar Kadein, Rabbi Abba Avoy, Rabbi Abba Bar Mari, Bishen Ravacha, Kasad Echad Omer Kol Chafat Tzecha Lo Yishvu Ba, Kasad Echad Omer Kol Chafat Tzim Lo Yishvu Ba. So We have two psukim in Mishlei that contrast something to Torah. Something isn't as great as Torah. So the first one from Per Gimel says, Chafatzecha are not worth comparable to Torah. And the second one says, Chafatzim are not comparable to Torah. So Chafatzim, Elu Avanim Tovos Umargolios. Meaning to say, no, there's no treasure in the world that's comparable to Torah. Intuitively, that's obvious, of course. Of course, it's easier said than done. A lot of people give up Torah to acquire chafatzim. Okay, but no chafatzim are comparable to Torah. What are chafatzecha? Elu mitzvot shel Torah. Dichsev ki ba'elu chafatz di ne'um Hashem. So chafatzecha are your mitzvos. Even mitzvos aren't compared to Torah. So in Arash's explanation of this Mishnah, based off Yushalmi, when we say Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, it's the way we intuitively understand it. Namely, Talmud Torah is superior to all other mitzvos. Now, the question, though, is if that's true, then why is it that, as we noted before, you sometimes stop learning to do mitzvos? So let's actually take a look at the source for that halacha. It's a Gemara in Moed Katan. The Moed Katan actually addresses that same stira that we noted for Mishlei. Haviyasvi v'kamibay lehu. Ksev yikarahi mipninim. V'chol chafatzecha lo yishvuba. Hachaf teshamayim yishvuba. The first pasuk implies that chafatzecha, your objects, not the way the Yushalmi reads it, your objects are not comparable to Torah. But that indicates that Chafte Shemayim, like mitzvos, are comparable to Torah. Fixiv, the Chol Chafatzim lo Yishvuba, nothing is worth comparable to Torah. Defi l'Chafte Shemayim lo Yishvuba. So what does that mean? Kam b'mitzvah she'efshel la'asos al-yidei achirim. Kam b'mitzvah she'efshel la'asos al-yidei achirim. The resolution is that sometimes we say Talmud Torah comes ahead of mitzvos, sometimes mitzvos come ahead of Talmud Torah. How so? If it's efshel la'asos al-yidei achirim, if it's a mitzvah that can be done by others, so then a person should continue learning Torah and others will do the mitzvah. If not, then you should be mevatel Talmud Torah. Let's give an example. So sometimes it's obvious. Shaking lulav, right? Should I stop learning to shake lulav? Is that efshar le'asos al yedei achirim?
No.
No, of course not. Nobody could shake lulav for me, so I would stop. Take a look at the Tosefta that follows. It makes this point. Keshem shemafsikim l'kriya shema, just like you stop learning for shema. We'll see that's actually not so simple. Kach mafsikim l'kriya smegila, l'kriya shalal, l'kriya shofar, l'kriya lulav, l'chol mitzvah samoris b'torah. It's also not so simple, but things like l'kriya shofar can't be done by others, so I should stop for them. Now, what about... this is a question I'm asked frequently. Should I go to my friend's wedding? Or go to Night Seder? What's the answer? Is it Efshar Le'asos Al-Yedei Achirim or Yefshar?
Depends on how close you are with the friend.
That's exactly correct. Will my absence make a difference? Will my presence make a difference? Will my participation make a difference? Usually, if a friend invites you to their wedding, it's probably because your presence will make a difference, and your participation in the Simchas Chasam V'Kala is, in a sense, irreplaceable. So you have to lasos al-yedei achirim, so then you should miss Night Seder. Okay, it's obviously not always so simple. You know, sometimes, what about if you have to fly halfway across the world? It's going to be 2 days or the like. But the point is, I don't know, sometimes a person might feel their presence at a wedding is irrelevant. You don't even know the Chasan and Kala. It's, I don't know, some other connection. So then maybe it's different. But that's the basic halacha. Now, why is this? What does this indicate? What is greater? So if we said mitzvos are greater, so then you should always stop learning for mitzvos. It must be Talmud Torah is greater. If Talmud Torah is greater, then why is it that you should stop even if it's e'afshar le'asos ha'idei achirim. So you could say, well, in the case of l'chasana, Talmud Torah is great, but you don't want to leave another person feeling bad. Okay, maybe that's a svara. But let's say when it comes to other mitzvot, like we said, shofar, right? Why would that be? If there's superiority to Talmud Torah, you would lose the opportunity, so it's true. But you could also argue that you're losing that opportunity for Torah. Meaning to say, this moment is not coming back. Let's imagine a person is a masmid. So they're already freeing their, using their free time for a Talmud Torah. In other words, there's it's a zero-sum game.
But it's a mitzvah that you're supposed to do.
Okay, but Talmud Torah is more important.
I thought it was only so that Alman has lasses.
Oh, so you're giving an answer. You're giving a very an answer that some of the Rishonim say, which is that we know that Talmud Torah has to be Alman has lasses, and Talmud Torah that's Shalom and has lasses is not really the proper fulfillment of the mitzvah, maybe not even a mitzvah at all. So what you're saying is like this: if a person were not to stop learning in order to and would give up that mitzvah, so that shows that they're Talmud Torah Shalom and Aslasos. In other words, fundamentally what you're saying is fundamentally really Talmud Torah is connected. Talmud Torah is more valuable than any mitzvah and every mitzvah. But if I were to not stop learning in order to do that mitzvah, so then that defines my Talmud Torah. What's the nature of my Talmud Torah? It's not Talmud Torah Menas Lasos, because I am not doing any mitzvos, right? I'm learning Hilchos Lulav, but when it comes time to shake Lulav, I'm not stopping to shake Lulav. So could we call that learning Amenas Lasos? No. Then it's not even Talmud Torah. So that is your suggestion, okay? So if we read the Gemara the way you're suggesting, so then this Gemara is true. This Gemara does not undermine the preeminence of Talmud Torah. Right? The preeminence of Talmud Torah is maintained. And we'll see a number of sources that perhaps support your reading. It's just that there's almost like a technicality, which is if I don't stop learning to do the mitzvah, then it's not even learning. Rav Huttner, in the source that you have here, this is from Pachad Yitzchak Shvuos Mem, and he has develops the idea even more in a different letter, basically makes this point. And he says, that's the Pshat Rambam that we saw before, B'yachzer l'talmudo. In other words, if as soon as I'm done the mitzvah, I go back to learning. So then what did I show? I showed that my interruption of learning to do the mitzvah was so that my Talmud Torah would be almanas lasos. It almost is a chelak in my Talmud Torah. It defines my Talmud Torah. Whereas, if I don't go back to learning, so it doesn't show that. In other words, the Rambam isn't just giving you practical advice, but the reason why you're allowed to stop learning in order to do the mitzvah is precisely because you're going to come back to learning. In fact, we'll see a little later, there's the possibility that when it comes to a mitzvah where you, if you were to stop to do it, even if it's yefshal al-sasai de'cherim, but you wouldn't necessarily be able to go back to learning, then maybe we don't say you should be mafsek. That's the way the Rambam...
Even for like shaking lulav or listening to
shofar. So, shaking lulav and shofar, there's no reason why that would be. In theory, though, it would be true. If you want, we could jump ahead, but one place where that might come up, this is a Rav Huttner's theory, is we could skip to the Rambam on the left column of the first source sheets, two-thirds of the way down from the Rambam in Hilchos Ishos. The question this Rambam is addressing is a different question of Piri v'Rivya. So Pirkei Rav is a very interesting mitzvah, because in theory, all mitzvahs say male is chayiv at 13 and a female at 12. So male is chayiv and should be chayiv in theory in Pirkei Rav at 13. That age, when he becomes a bar mitzvah, he's physically ready. Yet the Mishnah on Pirkei Avos says ben shmonesrei l'chuppa. So why that gap? So intuitively you'll say, it's pretty obvious, right? Wouldn't be a good idea to marry a 13-year-old. Okay, that might be true. And obviously, someone who's not ready to get married shouldn't get married. That might be one of the reasons why, generally speaking, even though the Mishnah says ben shmonesrei l'chuppa, we would discourage most 18-year-olds from getting married nowadays, because, you know, I think the 13-year-olds of old might be more mature than the 18-year-olds of today. But that's a more technical point. Is there something more fundamental here as well? Is an interesting question, though I guess not for now. And the Gemara says you're not allowed to, if you wait past 20, your bones start to rot. And the Rambam adds, if you look where it's underlined, v'mayot, that... the kevan she'avru esrim shana v'loy nasa isha, hareze over umivatel mitzvah saseh. If you wait past this 20, so there's a halachic consequence. You're over umivatel mitzvah saseh. Now that's very significant. This is part of a broader question, which again is a discussion in its own right, not for tonight. But when is one mivatel a mitzvah saseh that doesn't have a particular time? Most mitzvos asay that have a time, so we know exactly when you're mevatel it. Right? If a person doesn't say Shema by Sosman Kriya Shema, they're mevatel Kriya Shema Bizmana. If they don't bench while they're still satiated, they were mevatel Birkas HaMazon. But what about a mitzvah that doesn't have a time frame? When are you mevatel it? Assuming you're planning to do it, you just delay. Planning to do it later. There's a Chazon Ish about it. And the Chazon Ish says, there's no clear-cut raya from Shas, one way or the other. He first tries to bring a raya from a Dinin Negayim, that a Kohen, there's a drasha, Kohen doesn't see the Negayim of someone during Chol HaMoed, or when he's during Sheva Brachos. We need a drasha for that, implying otherwise it would be a bittul mitzvah, but maybe not. He goes back and forth, the whole discussion. Now this is, by the way, now is not the forum to discuss this, but it's important sugya in terms of the question of permissibility of birth control. Is a person allowed to delay the fulfillment of the mitzvah since they're planning to do it, or does that constitute bittul mitzvah? But anyway, that's not our sugya now either. The Rambam, though, does tell us, seemingly, that if you wait past 20, you're mevatel the mitzvah. Okay. And then the Rambam says, fascinating thing, v'maya osei b'torah v'tarud ba v'hayu misyare milisa isha kidei shelo yitrach b'mizonos v'yivatel minatora harezeh mutter l'sacher. However, let's say you're engaged in Torah study and you're concerned that you're getting married will distract you from that involvement. You won't have as much time to learn. Also a question I get asked a lot. You know, somebody says, 24 years old, mitzvah furufu, but if I get married, I'll be distracted from learning. Could I wait another year? So Rambam says, it's mutter. Now, an important question, a critique that the Rishonim already have on this rabbit is there a limit? Could be there's no limit. Could be there is. Rambam doesn't give a limit. That's the next Rambam talks about Ben Azai. so that's the next halacha. But the Rambam writes something very fascinating here. Why is it mutter l'sacher? Sha'osek b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah v'kol shekein b'talmud Torah. So the reason why you're pater, Your reason why you're allowed to delay is because you're osek b'mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Talmud Torah. So you're potter from which mitzvah? Peri v'rivya. The kol shekein b'talmud Torah. And if we normally apply the principle of osek mitzvah, potter min mitzvah, certainly talmud Torah. Why is it a kol shekein? Talmud Torah keneged kulam, right? Now what's the obvious problem with this Rambam? What's the obvious difficulty? Absolutely. We know that there's one mitzvah that we don't apply the principle of osek b'mitzvah, potter min mitzvah. And what is that? Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah. We do not say osek b'mitzvah, potter min mitzvah. We say, if it's yafshar le'asas al yedei acherim, so you must stop your learning. This is yafshar le'asas al yedei acherim. So, and certainly the kol shekein is difficult. So Rav Huttner, in this piece over here, is an interesting theory. He suggests that perhaps here we're talking about a case where yachzor le-limudo, le-talmudo, isn't really so plausible. Right? A person stops learning to shake lulav. Okay, how long does it take to shake lulav? A minute or two, whatever it is. Maybe you have a lot of kavan, it takes an hour. Whatever it is. But then you're done. And you go back to learning. And you are where you were. Yachzor l'talmudo. So because it's shayach yachzor l'talmudo, so then we say, mevatlin Talmud Torah for mitzvah she'yesh al asas adechim. But let's say, it's not shayach yachzor l'talmudo. Like in this case. Now in this case, once you're married, you're still going to hopefully be able to learn. But it's depending on your circumstances. Remember, the Rambam wasn't a fan of kolo. Right? So depending on your circumstances, certainly on not to the same degree. Right? Is it shayach yachzor l'talmudo? No. So then maybe we don't say osek b'mitzvah. We do apply the principle of osek b'mitzvah, potter min mitzvah, even for Talmud Torah. And the kol shekein b'talmud Torah, because like the Rambam said, Hilchos Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is shakol keneged kol mitzvos. In other words, again, fundamentally, Talmud Torah is preeminent. It's just that normally you're mafsik so that it's lil mod amenas lasos. But that's only because it's shayach yachzor l'talmudo.
That's the way everyone approached it, then no one would ever get married, and then you wouldn't have a continuation of Torah anyways.
It's a good question. So it's never been a problem. Mm-hmm. It's never been a problem. We only have, we asked before, is there a limit? Maybe. Maybe there's not even a limit. That's what Frontner considers. Like the next halacha, Mishachashka nasha batorah tamid v'shaga ba k'ben azai. So that's one reason why it doesn't work for too long for most people. But it could also be that this allows for a delay, but not a, but yeah, an achanami. As I said, even if that's true, even if this halacha is true, mishachashkana shabatayra tamid, right? But in all of our history, we never heard of anybody who did this besides Ben Azai, right? Now they were pretty, you know, Rabbi Akiva was a pretty big masmid, so inferred, right? And Stama, so was Hillel and Shammai and all the chachamim. And we've only heard this of Ben Azai. Now that's one way to approach this Rambam. There's another way to read the Rambam, which would really be a very different approach. If you want to take a look at some of Rav Elchanan from Kobitz Aros on the right column of page 2, Rav Elchanan basically says no. He actually says the opposite. You see from the fact that the Rambam applies the principle of osek b'mitzvah pater na mitzvah to Talmud Torah, that it's not a bittul mitzvah. Remember we asked before, is delay of a mitzvah that's not time-restricted, where you intend to fulfill it, considered a bittul mitzvah? So Rav Hanan says, if it was, in other words, if this actually was considered bittul mitzvah, a person says, I am going to get married. I plan to get married, I plan to have children, but I'm going to wait 4 years till I finish Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifran, Sifri, and Nechota. Okay? But I'm planning, so now, is that a bittul mitzvah? So, says Rav Hanan, if it was, then of course we wouldn't apply the principle of Osek B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. Why? Because we know that any time it's E.F. Sharle Aso Salide Acherim, so then for Talmud Torah, you're Mafsik Milimudo. There are no exceptions. So it must be over here that it's not a Bittul Mitzvah. It's not a Bittul Mitzvah, because you're planning to do it anyway. Of course, normally we say Zrizin Makdimin L'Mitzvos. Okay, but here there's a countervailing pressure, namely, you know that after you get married, you're not going to be able to learn very much. So, you decide to push it off. But it's not a Bittul Mitzvah. Ah, once it's not a Bittul Mitzvah, so then, what's the rule? Osek B'Mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. Right? In other words, to put it a little differently, this is Efshel Le'asos Ayde Acherim. Who's the Acherim? Me. When? 4 years from now, when I stop learning and try to get married. Okay, we all know. Deciding to get married and getting married is a different story. But the point is, who's going to do the mitzvah? Me, right? So this is Efshel Le'asos Ayde Acherim. The Acherim is me in 4 years from now. So therefore, once this is actually Asos Ayde Cherim, so of course we say Osek B'Mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, even for Talmud Torah. And that's the Kol Shekein Talmud Torah. Now, one issue with this Rambam is the Rambam says that after 20, what did he say? You're Mevatel the Mitzvah. Right? It's difficult for Rabbi Chanan. Maybe Rabbi Chanan would say that delaying a mitzvah for a good reason isn't considered Bittul Mitzvah. Delaying a mitzvah for a lousy reason is considered a Bittul Mitzvah. Chazon Ish considers such a possibility. So therefore, delaying mitzvah for Talmud Torah isn't a Bittul Mitzvah. So if it's not a Bittul Mitzvah, then we do apply Osek Mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. Delaying a reason, and therefore, and what the Rambam is saying is, but if you get to the age of 20 and you delay without a good reason, so then that is Bittul Mitzvah. Anyway, yeah, you have a question?
To say, why is it considered a cherim because of you yourself in 4 years from now? Why is that a cherim?
Well,
it's
sort of just an easier way to look at it. It's equivalent to Efshel Le'asos Ayde Cherim. You could look at it as me being the acher, me in 4 years. In other words, the point is this won't lead to a bittul mitzvah, right? Usually, and whenever it doesn't lead to a bittul mitzvah, so then what's the halacha? You're not mafsik milimudo. So usually it doesn't lead to a bittul mitzvah because somebody else will do it. Here it's not going to lead to a bittul mitzvah because I'm going to do it. When am I going to do it? In 4 years. Yeah?
I don't think it's not Talmud Torah. I don't think I really understand the
commandments of Osek Mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. I'm involved in mitzvah A, I'm patur from mitzvah B. A person is
any mitzvah.
Chesed. Yeah. Person's going ahead and they're doing chesed. So there, you know, obviously the parameters sometimes practically are a bit complex. But let's say a person's at a levaya, and so they're potter from giving tzedakah, or davening mincha, or the like. So if you could daven mincha before the levaya starts, you should. Let's say you can't. So then you're potter. Okay. The Gemara discusses all sorts of different things. Sneak out to daven, to say Shema, and the like, but fundamentally, without getting into too much details, you're a potter, right? A person is going to see their Rebbe on Sukkos. It's a mitzvah l'hagdol p'nei rabbo b'sukkah. So they're potter, so when they're traveling to the Rebbe's house, they could eat outside the sukkah. osik with one mitzvah, and that's even a hechsher mitzvah. We're not doing the mitzvah yet. Still, we say osik with mitzvah. Mishnah and Sukkah, second part. So they're patur. In the mitzvah, they're patur, so they could eat in outside of the sukkah and sleep outside of the sukkah. They're traveling to go see their rabbi.
It's not like certain mitzvahs.
No, adirabba, the chiddush, one of the chiddushim of osik mitzvah, patur, in the mitzvah. It's obvious if it's a big mitzvah for a small mitzvah. Even if it's a small mitzvah, you're patur from a big mitzvah. The Orzerus has two reasons. First of all, we don't know what's big and what's small. And moreover, we don't do mitzvahs for schar.
What if you're presented with one mitzvah right after another, where they're both yeshar l'asos?
So if you've started one, you don't stop to do the other one. If you haven't started, so then it's a slightly different question, where you could choose one or the other. Sometimes there are rules, but generally speaking, a person should use their seichel in that case. But once you started mitzvah A, you will almost never stop mitzvah A to do mitzvah B. Okay. Now, so here again, to summarize, we have two understandings of this Rambam in Hilchos Ishus. The Rambam writes that one is allowed to delay marriage in order to learn, because osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah, because you can't tell the Torah. Why is that? According to Rav Elchanan, we're still within the normal rules. The normal rules are that yafshar le'asos al yedei acherim, then you're mafsik. But afshar le'asos al yedei acherim, this is equivalent to afshar le'asos al yedei acherim, you do apply osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah. And Kol Shekein Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is Kenegad Kula. Whereas, according to Rav Huttner, it's a much more far-reaching idea that the only time, even for mitzvah sheyesh le'asos al-yedei acherim, you're mafsik, is when, like the Rambam says, you could be mekayem yachzor l'limudo. But if you can't be mekayem yachzor l'limudo, so then you would have to be you are not chayev lahafzik. And again, one of the issues with that approach is, again, when does it end and the like.
So I have a question actually on the part before the Kol Shekein. That was like the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Like, what other mitzvah is so constant that it would push off getting married, other than Talmud Torah? Why would even bother with the first part?
Well, so let's say a person is heavily involved in chesed, and they understand that they'd have to decrease that involvement, because since they get married, they have to earn a parnasa to support a family. So one could argue, osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, and the Kol Shekein Talmud Torah. Now again, it's not, chesed's very important. Mitzvah Puri Vivya is a mitzvah Chashuvahi and the like. And ultimately, as we said in the end of the day, even with respect to Talmud Torah, we never heard of anybody doing this but Ben Azai. But still, it's a fundamental question. Now, I'd like to go back to perhaps the question more globally, which is mitzvos versus Torah. And I think we'll discover a very fascinating thing. Take a look at the Gemara in Kiddushin, which is again back on page one, bottom right of page one. The Kfar Rabbi Tarfon v'Zakein and Mesubim Baliyas Beis Nitzah B'Lud. Nishal Hashela Zu Bifneihem. Talmud Gadol, O Ma'isa Gadol. So here the Gemara is basically asking the question we were wondering about at the beginning, which is what's greater, Talmud or Maisa? So, obviously, it's not so clear cut. Nen Rabbi Tarfon v'Amar Maisa Gadol. Nen Rabbi Akiva v'Amar Talmud Gadol. Machlokas. Agav. It's sort of interesting. Rabbi Akiva said, "Zekal Gadol v'Torah is what?" After Lecha Kamocha. But still, he says over here that Talmud Gadol with respect to Maisa. It's something to think about, but not now. So it seems like it's a machlokas. Nenu kulam de amru Talmud gadol, sha Talmud mevi lidei maisa. So here we're really returning to that ambiguity that we had before. That's very hard to understand. Because this is like a stima mineirbe. If Talmud mevi lidei maisa, the greatness of Talmud is that's mevi lidei maisa. So what does that imply? What's greater? Maisa. But it says, nanu kulam ve'amru, Talmud gadol. In fact, the Gemara, the Rashi and Tosfos are elsewhere. In Bava Kamma seem to debate this point. They don't have time to read them inside anymore. But basically, Rashi over there understands the conclusion of the Gemara and Kiddushin as saying, Maisa gadol, after all. Talmud mevi lidei maisa. And Rabbeinu Tam says, Adraba. The Maisa, the Gemara says, Nenu kulam ve'amru Talmud gadol. So how could you say that? It's a different shot. Not so clear. But let's try to understand what this means. When we say, Talmud's mevi lidei maisa. So what does that mean? So, one possibility is it's a very practical thing. If I want to know what to do, halacha l'maisa, so I need to learn. Lots of halacha. You want to keep Shabbos, you have to know Hilcha Shabbos. Otherwise, the chances of your correctly keeping Shabbos are pretty low. Hilchos Brachos, and even Chesed. Right? The Chida, the Birkei Yosef, the source that follows Tosfos and Bava Kamma, makes this point. Talmud Korah, Kevan Dikar HaTorah, Elamdeinu Maisa Mitzvah, the Lo Amed Rishua Iker, the Chol Yikar Tiferes Gedulas Talmud Torahinu Elish Mevi Lidei Maisa. That's the reason why. Why is it that l'maisa we stop learning to do a mitzvah? At least that's yefsha le'asas aydecherim. Because we're lo made amanas lasos. Good. The Taisus Riazakin in Kiddushin over there says, don't understand it that narrowly. It's not just that it's mevi lidei maisa in the sense of halacha l'maisa, as in what's paskened in Shulchan Aruch. But really, it's much broader than that. Kilomar, shemishi odea Torah osa mitzvah v'yari minachatayim v'shlemos. Someone who studies Torah will have yir shemayim, aval mishe lo yada Torah, lo ze yiroi. Shekvar namar in bor yirei chet, ve'namar etz chasid. You can't be a yirei chet if you're a bor, if you're an ignoramus. You can't be a chasid if you're an amaretz. Mitzuref lezeh shebalirmo shechacha mitzad chachmaso, yagia lamaisa shalim v'atov, v'kinin amidos atovos v'amimutzos. You want to have good midos. So you need to learn. It's not just intuition. Mishu bal tchunos tovos levad, lo yagia elav chachma shehu bal midos tovos. Just because you have good natural character traits, you're not going to arrive at chachma, and you're not going to become that bal midos tovos. It's not the reverse, it's just because somebody's very smart and knowledgeable doesn't mean they're going to have good midos either. But you need that chachma to have midos tovos. The gamaisav she'osa einam al derech nechona, the law al derech ha'emes. So he notes that there's the technical point, you're not going to be medaktik b'halacha, but it's much more than that. You're not going to have midos. You're not going to follow the derech ha'emes. So Talmud mevi lidei maisa means that to be a well-rounded yarei shamayim chassid oved Hashem. So, for that, you need to study Torah. You need to know Torah. Torah shapes us, it molds us, changes our character, not just because it teaches me what it says to do in Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, but because it's something that shapes and affects a person as a whole. So, the Meiri takes us one step further. He says very powerfully on this Gemara, Hutzarech lomod yaktem leTalmud. SheTalmud miyafes hamayso mashlimo. VeHamitzvah mehuderes yoser shiyotzeis mepi ayodeh. And not a very fascinating idea. It's almost like hiddur mitzvah. You know, a person could do a mitzvah. Let's say you know the halach lamaisis. You do the technical aspects of the mitzvah correctly. But, so you're yotzei the mitzvah. Certainly true, you're yotzei. But that's incomparable to someone who's yodeya in yana, who understands the mitzvah, who studied the mitzvah. Someone who studied the mitzvah, so their mitzvah is a totally different mitzvah. It's totally different. When you've prepared for a yontif, it's a different yontif. The Meiri writes in general about this in his Hakdama elsewhere that that to be mekayim the inyan of the mitzvah, you need to have understood the mitzvah. Every mitzvah has a purpose, a goal, you're not random, and the goal of the mitzvah is achieved to a greater degree when you understand it. So that's what it means, Talmud Mevi Lidei Maisa. So all these understandings are perhaps in ascending order of sophistication, but they're still Maisa is where you want to get. And Talmud is Mevi Lidei Maisa. To do the ultimate Maisa, you need a lot of Talmud in advance. However, as we've seen in the Rambam, it seems like, and this is especially true if you learn, like we said from Rav Huttner, but even perhaps however you learn in the Rambam, because he says, Kol Shekein Talmud Torah, that this could be understood much more fundamentally. That Talmud Torah is fundamentally superior to Maisa. Now then you have to figure out what Talmud Mevi Lidei Maisa is. The Rambam in a number of places writes that. The Rambam writes that mitzvos are very, very important in Mor Nebuchim. He says this in different ways in different places. We don't have time to read it inside tonight. But mitzvos are very important. They create a good society, and they're misaking the person, and they give them good midos, and all sorts of perfections. But Talmud Torah, which is sichli, is and connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more powerfully, is even greater than mitzvah. So a person should, the Rambam writes, focus on Torah more than mitzvos. Now, how do you explain the lashon of the Gemara? The Gemara really didn't sound that way, right? It's mevi lidei maisa. So, the Maharal addresses this point. You have here three or four pieces from the Maharal. And the Maharal says, we don't have time to read inside it, and I'm not going to do it justice in my 1 minute summary. But the Maharal writes that Torah is greater because it's sichli, it's nivdal, connects us to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's sichli and nivdal. But at the same time, and this is the reason why you have to stop learning to do mitzvos, at least when you're yefshal le'asus le'decherim, ki ein ha'adam sichli. Meaning to say, in theory, Talmud Torah is definitely greater than Maisa. But not in practice, always. And the reason is very simple. Because we are physical beings as well. We're not just this neshama or this seichel or the like. After a person dies and their guf and their neshama separate, so they can be involved in intellectual, spiritual activities all day long. They don't need mitzvos. But mitzvos relate to who we are. So, of course, if you were Sichli Gamri, then Talmud Torah is all you'd need. But mitzvos are what keep us rooted and grounded and perfect us in this world. We need both Torah and mitzvos. A person, who's a guf and a neshama, that only Torah will achieve shleimus. Because they're addressing half themselves and they'll be left as a warped person. And the Torah probably won't even penetrate as it should. And likewise, someone who only does mitzvos. Really, we need both. A couple of other mahalchim, maybe briefly two other mahalchim, but we don't really have time for it. One idea you have here from Rav Kook. And Rav Kook could be found on your source sheets on bottom right of page 3. Rav Kook is addressing a very interesting point. A very interesting point. There's a steering Gemara. One Gemara says that the first question a person's asked in Shemayim is Talmud Torah. There's another Gemara that's a more famous one. There's 6 questions that a person's asked. First question is Nasata v'nasasa v'amuna. Second question is about Talmud Torah, Kavati Talmud Torah. So what's the pshat? It's a stira. So he just asks the question, he gives 2 answers. Rav Kook says the pshat is like this. This is the way he reads one of Tosis's answers. That it really depends on the person. And now, this isn't exactly the way Rav Kook puts it. We have time, we read it together. But we don't have time, so I'm going to paraphrase in my own words and take some liberties. There are some people, and this is true for most people, that their ikker way, their ikker aspect of Avodas Hashem is through mitzvos. And for such people, the first question they're asked is not Talmud Torah, because their ikar avodas Hashem, the ikar way they connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through mitzvos. Now, every person has to learn. And that's why they're asked, Kavata Itim LaTorah. They're asked, Tfiyas Itim. Tfiyas Itim. You always have to set aside time. But that's not their ikar. And you have some people that their ikar avodas Hashem is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Talmud Torah. Such people are first asked, Kfiyas Itim isn't right for them. They need absolute dedication. Their question first is not about Asakta Nasata Nasasa Bemuna. That's a question that's addressed for most people who spend most of their day involved in the world at work. They could be great, great people. But how much are they going to learn? They're going to be Makayim Kaviyas Itim LaTorah. They'll learn in the morning, they'll learn at night. Maybe they'll learn an hour or two in the morning, an hour or two at night. Maybe. They're probably going to work for longer than that. Right? So their first question is what? Nasata v'nasasa v'amuna. That's what they're spending most of their time in. Their ikar connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their avodas Hashem, is through mitzvos. The first question, therefore, is Nasata v'nasasa v'amuna. Then they're asked via Kavati Ilim LaTorah again. Not to minimize Talmud Torah. But then there are some people who are fall into the other category. Their first question, Tchilas Dino Shel Adam, for them, is Talmud Torah, because that's it. And it's not just Kavata Itim LaTorah. They are people that can't be mafsik in Torah. L'mashal. The halacha is that the Gemara and Shabbos, if you look at 3 sources above that, says, Chaverim shayu asukim batorah, mafsikim lekrishma, vein mafsikim letfila. So people are learning, a bunch of chaverim are learning together, they stop for kriyashma, why? It's deraisa, but not for tefila. In other words, they don't daven. It is. But it's also chayisha. We have to understand why tefila is different. But now is not the time to get into that. Your question is fundamentally correct. Not only that, but there's an opinion of the Yerushalmi, if you look, the source that's actually above that, which starts on the bottom left of page 2, Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rashbi Omer, Kigon Anush, Asukim b'Talmud Torah, Afilu Kriyashma inanu mafsikin. They don't even start for Shema. That's Deraisa. No. Oh, so that's actually what it says. Very good. You're absolutely correct. It says over here, V'lo Mode Rashbi, on page 3 again, where it's bolded, Shemafsikin lasos sukum lasos lulav, V'lasal Rashbi halamid amanas lasos v'lo halamid shalom amanas lasos, Noach lo shalom nivra. Right? There's a bunch of questions on Rashbi. First of all, even he agrees you have to stop for sukkah. Second of all, he agrees you have to be lomid amanas lasos, right? If you're learning shalom amanas lasos kilo lo nivra, v'am Reb Yochanan, alamid shalom. Shelo lasos noach lo kilo nefcha shil yaso alpana v'lo yatal yolam. Better he had not been born. Time it Rashbi ze shinun v'ze shinun v'ein mevatel shinun mipnei shinun. No, Shema is also learning. You're not mevatel. It's a different type of learning. Right? Taka learn. Rishinan hum levanach is the source for Talmud Torah. So we're not mevatel one learning for another one. But the point is that there are certain people that don't even stop. But it's interesting, if you look at the Gemara, both in the Bavli and Rishonim, they basically said that's not for most of us. Rabbi Yochanan even said that. Am Rabbi Yochanan lo shanu ala kagod Rashbi v'chavei Rav. That's for people like Rishon Bar Yochai and his friends. Shetayrasan umnasan. Their umnus is Torah. That's what you're describing. In other words, people whose umnus is Torah, they're professionals. But aval kagod na anu. Now, Rabbi Yochanan was no slouch. And people like us, mafsikin lekriyashma l'tefillah. And this, of course, is reminiscent of the famous Gemara in Brachos, that Rabbi Yishmael says, v'asafta v'ganecha ha'aneg ban minag derech eretz. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, yeah, esh shadim chorish b'shas charisha, v'zareh b'shas riyah, v'kot b'shas ksira, Torah mateela. The Gemara concludes, Har be'asu k'Rabbi Yishmael, v'also b'yadan. Har be'asu k'Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, v'lo also b'yadan. Chayim v'lashon was b'daik harbe. For the rabbim, it's not right to follow Rashbi's approach. Now, Torah Nasan, on the one hand, basically doesn't apply to anybody, but it's not so clear. That's what we say in Hilchos Kriyas Shema and Tefillah. Same time, the Torah writes, this is from the Reb Magash, it's Paskim in Shulchan Aruch as well, if you look at the source before Rav Kook. Here it's talking about a different halacha of Misha Tarasu Naso, their pater from taxes, from other services. V'davka talmid echad Misha Tarasu Naso, aval im ein Tarasu Naso, chayavin, umihu, im yesh lo me'at umanus, o me'at naso matan, l'sparnis bo k'dei chaya, v'lo l'hisasher, v'chol shashu panui me'asakav, chozer al divrei Torah, v'lo me'tamid, nikra Tarasu Naso. In other words, Torah Sum Naso doesn't mean only someone who exclusively learns and has no parnasa. He could have a parnasa, but it's a minimal parnasa. He works what he needs to make to live, not extra, and he returns immediately to his learning. Such a person is begetter Torah Sum Naso. Now, again, the details here are beyond the scope of tonight's year, but the point that we're getting at is that we see that certain people are begeder Torah Sum Naso. And that's the idea that Rav Kook's saying. And their ikur avodas Hashem is through Talmud Torah. And for them, their first question is of al divrei Torah. And this goes back to the general question that we were discussing before about what's greater, Talmud or Maisa. And one mahalich might be to say it depends for who. Another interesting thing to consider, this is, we'll have to really say b'kitzer, but from a number of sources, some of the Rishonim, some of the Achronim, an example of a Rishon, where you see this is in the Marach or Zeruah, the bottom right of page 4, and there's an idea that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav develops in the bottom left of page 4. There are other sources here as well that say that perhaps there's also a difference at different stages in a person's life. at a certain stage in a person's life, they need to be focused on Torah almost exclusively, even at the expense of mitzvos. And to achieve mastery of Torah, that requires dedication at a certain point in life. In fact, this Tshuvas Maharach or Zerua writes, if you look at the top left of page 4, after developing this theory, Ukafizeh bachurim haholchem l'lmo Torah pturim mikol ha-mitzvos kol zman shem beveis rabban, when going off to yeshiva, so you're patur from mitzvos. He says, okay, you know, if they want to make a bracha on tefillin, they can, since Ashkenazim hold that you can make a bracha even if you're not chayiv. But it's interesting, actually. His Rebbe responded back in the tshuva. He says, you know, maybe you're right in theory about that, but most of the yeshiva bachurim, they're not really learning lishma, so you shouldn't, they better do mitzvos. But if they were, so then maybe that's right. Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, but he writes similar idea, but we don't have time to read it. But he's also talking about that Rambam that we did in terms of Hilchos Piri V'Rivya. I'll just read where it's underlined. V'atam pir shama Rambam t'chila she'osek b'mitzvah pater v'av shemivat l'ntal matar l'mitzvah she'yav she'la sos al yideh achirim k'di'isa b'moid katan with Yerushalmi ha'inu v'avsek l'fishah v'zman ma v'achar kachoze l'tamudo. Right? This is really the idea that we said before from Rav Futner is Meforish in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. When is it that we say Osek b'mitzvah, Patur b'mitzvah doesn't apply to Talmud Torah, when you could have V'yachzer lili mudau Avalolios Rechaim v'tzavaro Shubitol Talmud Tmidi Olamis V'yuchal avali de shichicha L'shkoach divrei Torah harbe K'shelo yelo p'nai l'achzer al Talmudo karali V'yein yediyas ha-Torah nitches m'pnei mitzvah zudepuruvu. In other words, Talmud Torah is nitches mipnei puruvu, but not yediyas ha-Torah, because that's yefshel asoseh adei achirim. And tchilas limudo, it's necessary. There is also perhaps the aspect of the experiential aspect of learning. You see that perhaps in Rashi. There's a Rashi, very interesting Rashi. Even though we said we don't apply Talmud Torah, osik mitzvah for Talmud Torah, right? Rashi says, let's say a person is going on Sukkot to hear a shir by their Rebbe, or they're going to learn in yeshiva, they're pater from Sukkot. What do you mean? It's a Rashi over here, on top right of page 4. How could that be? So maybe it's talking about not just regular Talmud Torah. The way the Rosh Hameach learns that Rambam is, it's talking about Shimush Talmidei Chachamim, which is irreplaceable. So another direction to go, if we have time to develop this, is that it depends on the person, it depends on what type of learning, it depends on the time of their life, and the like. And all those things might change in terms of the relationship between Talmud Torah and Maisa. At a certain point in life, a person's focus has to be on Talmud Torah. Almost near exclusion of other things, certainly, even though that means less involvement in mitzvos and chesed and the like, but not at different points in their life. And these are important things to think about. But as you can see, we only did much less than half of what we were hoping to do. You have a question?
Yeah, I was going to say, going back to the whole thing with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Shema. So he says you're not, so, like, if you're involved in mitzvah learning Torah, you wouldn't stop the Shema. Is that what he said?
According to Shimon Bar Yochai?
Yeah. So wouldn't you still say, based on the Rambam from beforehand, that it shapes your Talmud Torah also, and that's also Kabbalah Somah for Shema?
Maybe. But someone who's Tarasum Naso, at least according to Shimon Bar Yochai, no. In other words, this is even more significant, right? It's one small example, right? It says in the Mishnah Megillah, Revatal Talmud Torah Fikris Megillah. So everybody asks, what do you mean Revatal Talmud Torah Fikris Megillah? What is Mikra Megillah? It's Talmud Torah. The answer is, there's Bittul Torah Bekamas, there's Bittul Torah Eichas. There's a quality of learning. If I'm learning whatever I'm learning Masechah Sukkah. So stop learning to hear the Megillah. That's a diminution of quality of learning. Right? That's Bittul Torah as well. person can go to shir, it's bittul Torah, because they could be learning higher quality.
You see, like, we're kind of just like stopping, like, not hearing like regular because of
the... That's the point. In other words, even though it's bittul Torah, you're chayv levatel Torah for Kriyas Megillah. But it's begedra bittul Torah. That's the point that I'm bringing out. Right? And same thing for Shema. Okay. There's one last point I want to talk about, which is why am I talking about this in a woman's year? I'll even turn off the recorder for that point.